What's going on? Welcome to another Wolves Den. So we popping back with our brother, our family member, Thanos. We are headed into the 2023 Formula One season. A bunch of changes, drivers mixing around. Some drivers like on a hiatus, but they still on a team. Trying to figure out if that Formula One love child is going to do anything better than they did last season, this season. And if anybody knows that better, Thanos knows. What's going on, bro?
What's happening, man? So I'm good. You know, just like I said, you know, just been busy at work. Long day. No, I'm just ready for another season. Is getting close, so let's start talking. Let's get back to talking shit.
And let's get back to it. So let's open up already, man. Changes at Ferrari administratively. Drivers the same. We don't know what the car is going to look like, but we would hope it would perform better. But what are you expecting from Ferrari with Vasseur coming in taking Binotto's place, man?
Oh God, I mean. Everybody knows me, knows my saying about Ferrari, my expectations of Ferrari, and that's just Ferrari to be Ferrari, which is basically you can guarantee that they're going to either do something right or do something wrong. It's never a definitive thing with them. It's nothing definitive. You just don't know where you're going to get. You know, like that Forrest Gump saying, life is like a box of chocolate. Ferrari is a factory of chocolate. You don't know what you're going to get out of that factory. So. Damn. But I mean, changed personally. I don't remember I think I said it in the last time I was on here. Hey, Binotto had to go, man. Right. He had to go. At the end of the day, this is a results based business. And if you're not producing the results, you have to start making change to get that because, you know, they sacrificed because going 2020 work, they were basically recovering from that engine cheat in 2019. So they fell behind in 2020. But then 2021, they said, you know, they sacrificed the whole of 2021 preparing for 2022. Now you've turned up to 2022. You've got a good package. And then it just went downhill. You started the season right, you know, I was banking because we all know Mercedes were out, that were not part of the in the running for anything. So I was hoping they'd actually put up a fight, but the way they petered out and just like, you're like, yeah, that's just Ferrari, you know, and that's okay. That shit happens, you know. But I wanted them to get away from the culture of replacing team managers at a whim. But when you look at it and you look at how they started the season and then they fell off. Who is it? Arriva Bene got replaced. And he led a bigger challenge than Binotto did because, you know, he produced good cars in 15. Well, somewhat, they didn't win anything in 16. 17, 18, they were there. No, hold on. When did Arriva Bene get let go? I can't remember what year he got let go, but you know, he produced something. He brought Ferrari back to some semblance of what they used to be. But I don't know. There was just something about Binotto that you didn't get the feeling like he was the man for it. Is Fred Vasseur that person? I don't know. Fred Vasseur is, you know, he's pretty much been at Sauber. You know,
shit, bro,
for some time now, right, even though he's been around a while, but is he really the man to put Ferrari up over the edge? I don't know. I'm still the jury's out on that. So all I'm gonna say though is he's put himself in a very, very, he's taken up probably the hardest job in sports.
Mm.
I think it's the hard because Ferrari doesn't just represent Ferrari. Ferrari represents a nation.
Right.
So he's not just going into Ferrari thinking, yeah, it's just a team. It's not like he's going into Mercedes. Like it's not like Mercedes or Mercedes is just Mercedes. Mercedes doesn't represent Germany. It's if Mercedes doesn't win, Germany don't feel no way about it. You know what I mean? But Ferrari is the heart and soul of Italy. In terms of motorsport. Every Italian breathes Ferrari. So he's in a situation now whereby the pressure on him, it's it's up there. It's probably the, as I said, it's probably the toughest job in sports anywhere in the world. I don't care. It's tougher than being a Brazilian football manager or
Argentina
or because again, Ferrari, it's Ferrari. You know the name. You don't even need to know have to see one of the cars. You just hear the name Ferrari, you automatically know what it is, what their history is. Because remember, they've not won anything since 2008. 2008, you're coming up to the best part of what? Within the next, 2008, we've gone nearly 15, decade and a half since they've won anything and looked like they could win anything. So, you know, it's going to be a hard job for him to do. And the Italian press won't be lenient on him because I think they were, you know, they kind of like were with Binotto to some extent.
Okay.
But I wish him all the best.
Okay.
But it's going to be a problem. But if he's able to do it and if he's able to get them to produce a car that's consistent throughout the year, then the next thing for him is how does he change the culture? Because you know they'll give you a fast car, but on a Sunday, you can expect them to do something stupid. If there were races, Monaco case in point.
Right.
You know what I mean? They'll do something that just the drivers don't seem to know what's going on. You have strategies from A to Z, and at some point they're going to start develop letters in the alphabet that don't exist in the alphabet.
Right, and the whole
to cover to do strategies because they're doing everything. So how is he going to get? How is he? He has to change the culture, and we've always said the problem. One of the biggest problem I think with Ferrari is it's too Italian. And a lot of people have said
that is one of the things you said. They're too Italian. They got to get some diversity in there.
Yeah, and I don't mean diversity. We're not talking
about we're talking about nationality.
Exactly. Right. But the thing, and that's one of the problems they face being one of only two teams that's not actually based in the UK is the fact that recruiting people to come to Italy, it's difficult because a lot of people, you know, you're talking about uprooting your family and moving them to another country to experience another culture. Some will do it, but some will probably like, we don't. So it's easier so you find the teams that are in the UK, it's easier for them to recruit people and, people to move between teams in the UK because it's central to them. So
Let me ask you this then, since we're talking about the UK and we will be talking about this team coming up this season, McLaren, having the trifecta of drivers that have Alex Palou, Oscar Piastri, Lando. Do you feel like Lando is a number one driver truly, not just by default? And if so, do you feel like Oscar coming into this atmosphere, do you think that's going to be a toxic driver pairing?
I don't see why it should be toxic. You know, I don't think Lando's nature is that sort of person where he's going to create animosity between himself and his teammate. Oscar Piastri has a lot to prove because, you know, the way he left Alpine, it was a bit acrimonious. You know, it wasn't the cleanest divorce ever. It was a messy divorce. So, he has a lot to prove. In terms of Lando being a team leader, I think it's his team now. I think when Ricciardo came in, Ricciardo was supposed to be the man that, you know, led them forward, you know, take the reins and say, okay, let's move in this direction together. But you saw he got absolutely outclassed.
Right. So what do you think about Carlos then? What do you think about, because Carlos was there before Ricardo was there. So what did you think their whole initiative was with Carlos?
I don't know. And I guess Sainz did well when he was there. He did well when he was there. And I think that's the reason why he got the Ferrari deal. He did well. But McLaren has not really recovered. I don't think they've not really recovered from since Lewis left. I'm sorry, people are going to probably say it's a Lewis bias, but if you look at the team, they've lost, you know, the team seemed to have, you saw infighting in the teams in terms of ownership. There was an infighting between Ron Dennis and Mansur Oje, who passed, I think, a couple of years ago. There was infighting, they, you know, wanted to wrangle control of the team outright, and they were losing people. They you know, they had that situation with the Honda situation, you know, that, I don't know, they allowed Alonso to let them lose a factory.
Right.
Back in, to go back to being a customer team. And Ron Dennis famously said, you're not going to win a championship being a customer team. And we've seen that. Mm. Red Bull won the championship. They weren't a customer team. They're literally a factory team. So you need a factory team to progress forward. And I can't see, you know, them being a customer team, they're going to win. So it's still a hop. McLaren still has a long way to go before they get back to the pinnacle, where they can, they get to the point where they can say, yep, we're now seriously challenging for championships against Mercedes, Ferrari, and Red Bull. So, and Lando's young, right?
Yes.
And
he signed his contract to work.
Yeah, he signed a long-term deal, which I thought, I still to this day think it was a dumb move by him, because he's basically left himself out when Lewis decides he's gonna go.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's taking himself off the chessboard. He basically sacrificed himself as a pawn rather than trying to be a bishop or a knight or a king or something. He just went, I'll be a pawn, and just sacrifice himself.
Okay.
So, but he can lead the team. They just need to have, because he has the speed. Lando is quick, you know. He just needs to be a bit more, I think, more maturity and a bit more experience. And they've got, because they have something there in him. He's a talent. Anyone who says Lando is not a talented driver isn't really paying attention to Formula One. So they need to, but if they don't, is he going to stay there forever? Because
It
seems like he's just going to lose his, he's going to lose the best years of his life, because he's, you know, his best years of his career has basically been signed to McLaren now with that extension. And I saw I saw a tweet today where someone said that if Lewis was to leave, Mercedes could go for Charles, mm-hmm. and Lando would then become the potential replacement at Ferrari. But does Lando want to go to Ferrari?
Right.
And by the time that comes around, you know, where is he going to be in his career? Will he still be a hot property that Ferrari even want to sign?
Will he be a prime? Exactly. Will Ferrari want to sign a prime? Right, exactly.
Because
Ferrari's going to want to sign who's hot. I mean, they're a hot team. That's what it is. The Formula Love Child, regardless of how they're doing. They almost like the Dallas Cowboys. Like, we're going to sign some hot names and make some news, but we might not win shit.
Yeah, don't remind me, man. I'm a Cowboys fan, and I had to sit and watch my cousin lose on Sunday.
Oh,
man.
My gosh. I was like, damn. But, hey, let me ask you this. Let's get on to this, and then I'm going to let the Wolves go ahead and ask you some questions, because I already see some of them put in the chat. You all will have an opportunity to ask Thanos a question, but when you ask it, get them a question. Let them answer it, and then be mindful the other people probably want to go as well. So try not to double up on the questions. Does Mercedes have enough? Have they went through some changes that will be addition by subtraction, or will it be subtraction by subtraction? And what do you expect out of this car that's going to be coming up, W14?
Okay. Because I've seen all this theory and last year and presently online when they did that that firing up video and people were going off. And look, I've been watching sports for a long time. I'm familiar with the whole dynamics of sports. You're going to win and you're going to lose. You just have to, when you lose, you just have to go, all right, we had a shit season, and it is what it is. This is the nature of sport. You can't win all the time. And I can understand people's frustrations with the W13 last year. I was a bit pissed off, but then came to terms when I'm like, yo, it is what it is. Let's see what they can do this year. And I've said, you know, they've not forgotten how to build a quick car. You're talking about a team that won 8 straight championship. You don't just immediately forget how to build a great car. And you saw the recovery they made throughout the season. The car got better as the season progressed. And you're talking about that's with, they didn't have any, they just had two types of wings for the car. And, you know, they had to make that work over the season.
Right.
With, so I'm somewhat confident. Somebody asked me in one of my group chats if I think the W13 will be a championship challenger. And I say, yeah, I genuinely think it will be because they've got the people in place. It's not like, you know, they don't have, they still have the same core of people that gave you the W11, the W12, the W10. You know what I mean? So they've not, have they lost some people? Sure, they've lost people. Right. Everybody's lost people to other teams. But you'd think Mercedes was the only team that was, you know, people were leaving the team to go somewhere else. But again, they don't really, you know, they say they don't really publicize who leaves or who joins the team. It's just because the nature of the business, if you really knew how people move around in this business, you'd be surprised how frequently
like goddamn they move. Baseball. Right. Yeah.
But I think the W14 will be a much better car. I think, right. You know, when you listen to Lewis, you know, because I trust Lewis. And if Lewis is coming out and say, yeah, the W14 will be a better car, I trust that that's going to be the case. And I think they've learned from their mistakes. You know, because they said, I listened to the Mike Elliott video on YouTube.
Right.
I think, was it the Beyond the Grid interview on YouTube? And he's like, yo, they knew something was wrong the first day that they unveiled the car and they did the shakedown at Silverstone. They realized, yep, something was wrong. But the problem for them was they couldn't trace what it was because they didn't have any data to rely on to compare it to and say, okay, you know, but eventually they found it. They progressed on it. And I think they'll build on that because there was, even though it was a donkey at times, the W13 had some good characteristics about it, especially right, when it got into race trim. Once it, over a lap, it was piss poor. But once it got into the race, it was a bit more competitive in comparison. And you're talking, when you consider where they were in Bahrain
right.
at the start of the season, where you'd be thinking, oh God, I just pray you make it. It was a matter of, we pray you make it out of Q1. Then they made it out of Q1. We're like, oh, we pray you make it into Q2. To now, you pretty much got to the point where, yeah, they're guaranteed to be in Q3.
Right.
And you know, so you saw progress then. I think they'll build on that. And okay. I think, you know, we'll probably be surprised just how good of a package it is next year. Will it be Red Bull beating package on a consistent basis? I don't know. Maybe not. Right. But I'm gonna go on a limb. My back's broad, so I can take
it. Right, right. You can take the weight.
Yeah, I'm gonna go on a limb. I say, yeah, I think they're gonna be in the running for a championship next year.
Let's go ahead and take this question right here. First one up, Judicial, and then I want to know how you pronounce that correctly. Go ahead. I'm gonna lower your hand. Unmute yourself.
He's gone. Nah, where is he? He's gone.
Probably don't know how to unmute themselves. This is their first time in the Wolves den. Let me see. Okay, so while you working that out, when you get ready, you know, we'll let finish up. I'm gonna go to Jessica. Jessica, I'm gonna lower your hand, unmute yourself, ask your question.
Hello.
Ooh, Jessica, hello. Fast on it. You better get your shit together. Go ahead, Jessica. What you got?
So Thanos, I know you've probably been up on this, but the FIA president, you know, when he came out, I don't know if you guys talked about it already. I came in late because I'm working. But when he tweeted out that stuff about the sale of F1 and the $20 billion, how close do you think that F1 and FIA are splitting apart? Like, how close? Because I know in the past they threatened to split from them before and it didn't work out. How do you think they're close to it now?
No. I don't think they're close to splitting, but what I will say is there's tension there. And I think that it's getting even more tense, and his statement did not help. You can't tell the commercial rights owner of the sport how much they should sell the product for. it's not yours to sell. You're just the governing body in terms of the regulations and how the sport is governed. If Liberty right. wants to sell Formula One for a pound, that's their choice. Right. You have no say in the matter. He should have never come out and said what he said. Like, what are you doing? It's like, how can you be saying, oh, you know, 20 billion, you have to be careful. That's inconsistent. Like, sorry, what? Sorry, what? Look, dude, stay in your lane. And I tweeted it. He has been, since he's been in charge, he has created more problems than he has solved. From my point of view, he has picked fights that doesn't need to be picked. He picked a fight with Lewis with the whole jewelry thing.
Right.
Now he's come back and, you know, this whole thing now about, you know, you can't any political protest.
Political,
and I'm like, right. What political protest is he actually referring to? You know, saying now if you want to make a protest, you have to get permission from the FIA right. and all of these things.
Submit
like
written permission.
Okay,
right.
What's going on here? Because, you know, the only time you saw Formula One got involved in anything apolitical was when Lewis decided he's going to go Black Lives Matter. And then mm-hmm. Seb joined in with starting to do his thing. And right. they pretty much, you know, like I've always said, they pretty much White Lives Matter, Lewis's Black Lives Matter when they came back with the whole We Racers One nonsense, because I don't understand what the hell that was all about. That was just right. a joke. You know what I mean? So he has picked a fight that in truth he cannot win. He cannot win, and you're not going to beat the teams and the commercial rights holder. And if it carries on in the way it is, he could probably get moved.
I was about to say, yeah, you can. Because
remember,
bro.
It's his job. It's not a salaried job. It's kind of like it's somewhat of a volunteer, but they just pay his expenses and so forth and so forth. So he doesn't get a salary. But so that means you still can get removed.
Right.
You know, and if you're going to come out and say these things, you know, imagine it's like Roger Goodell coming out and telling the Dallas Cowboys, oh, you can't sell your team for 10 billion.
Right. It's not going to happen.
Jerry Jones is going to look at him like, sorry, what? Who's paying who?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Because Liberty, if I remember correctly, I think the FIA gets money from Liberty as well. You know, so for the right, I can't remember it 100%, but I'm sure.
Either way it go, they pay the checks.
Yeah, they get money from Liberty as well. Right. So you have to be careful. So he's, you know, he needs to understand that, dude, this is not how this thing works. Formula One, he's a Nemo in a shark pit.
That's a bit. So basically the answer to that question is hell no, he shouldn't have said it. And even if there is some divide, he's definitely not going to decide what a company's going to sell their product for. So
just to go back slightly, and it's not even just that. He's even weighing in on the whole Andretti coming into Formula One sort of thing. And you're like, dude,
right.
that has nothing to do with you.
Nothing to do with you.
Stay out of that. This is a direct thing between the teams and the rights holder for the sport. If the teams are saying, yo, Andretti, yeah, we don't know, because you're going to dilute our pot, because
right.
splitting 110 ways is cool. But then when you have to split it 11 ways, somebody's going to lose out. And the anti-dilution pool, that 200 million, teams have looked at it and like, yeah, 20 million, that's not going to be enough. You know what I mean? Because over the long run, that they're probably the 20 million that they're going to get at one time, they're probably losing more than that 20 million in that one space of time, you know. And it depends on Liberty Media saying, okay, we're going to up the pot. So if Liberty say, yo, we're not upping the pot, the teams right. aren't going to vote for Andretti to come in, because they're going to be losing money. Straight up, they're going to be losing money. So even if though Andretti might bring more, his presence on that, you know, them being on the grid will increase. It still depends on Liberty Media saying, we're going to give you a percentage of that increase in revenue. Because if they said no, teams are going to say, well, then we can't bring you in because we're losing money. You know what I mean? And okay. That's the name of the game. So he needs to he's saying things that he's just like, I think he has this thing in his head where he believes he needs to say whatever comes to his mind. You know, his style of leadership is, I'm going to be challenging some of the teams and some of the things they do, and some of, like, yo, step back. John Todd was out. He wasn't in the limelight. He was in the background. But this guy seems like he wants to be the part of the show. You're not part of the show. Yeah. You're the referee. Sit your ass in the back.
That's a fact.
You're only supposed to be seen if there needs to be a call made. Outside of that, just stay in your lane.
That's a fact.
That's what he needs to.
So let's go. Musa, I'm going to lower your hand. Go ahead, unmute yourself.
Thank you so much, man. Thanos.
What's up, man?
Just a few questions, man, but to be to the point. For 2023, do you think that there's any teams that have actually overspent, given that the way the FIA has, you know, chosen to run and address the whole saga last year? Do you think that there's teams that decided that this would be a great gamble and actually benefit from overspending?
Okay, here's the thing. Do I think a team's going to overspend? I think probably Red Bull again. If you listen to what Helmut and Kristen came out, I don't know if it's both of them or if it was Helmut Marko who came out and said, oh, there's going to be teams that overspent last year. And I'm like, okay.
They did the same shit.
They did the same shit in 2020, in 2021, and they overspent. So right. I've got a funny feeling that might be the case again.
Right.
In terms of, outside of that, is it worthwhile a team overspending? Because like Toto said, it's not just the penalty you receive. It's not just what the FIA gives you. It's also about your reputation. It's also about your brand. And you have to, you know, people were saying Mercedes should overspend, but then you realize for Mercedes, the brand takes precedence over everything else. That brand, that three-pointed star, it's reputation, you know, granted it reputation took a knock with the whole, I think it was Dieselgate shit. Volkswagen was involved in the whole Dieselgate. But I'm sure there was some thing going on with Mercedes as well. I can't remember what it was. But that brand is priceless and they're going to protect that brand at all costs. They don't want anything to, you know, to spoil. So I don't think they'd ever overspend. Plus, they operate as a team where they try to, you know, they operate on integrity. So I don't see them, you know, looking to go down that road. But some team might be able to do it, but how much is the overspend? Are they looking to spend? You know, and how much benefit is it going to give them? Because you're going to overspend $4 million, but you're still in the same position on the grid at the end of the year. Then was it really worth it? It
wasn't. Hell no.
You know what I mean? So you have to, if you're going to overspend, you have to be sure that, yep, the overspend is definitely going to move me two spots up in the championship, in the table. You know what I mean? And if you can't, and that's something you cannot actually quantify definitely. It's an assumption. You're saying, well, yeah, you're not sure. So do you want to take that risk and then having to face a financial penalty and all the other penalties that comes with it and then damage to your reputation?
True.
So
true.
But as I said, you know, listening to that statement that they made, was it last year they made that statement?
He said every major team is going to break the cost cap.
Exactly. They said the same thing because the rumors started to float that, you know, Red Bull, they were saying, oh, because even before that, Christian Horner and Elmo said, like, they think like six teams are going to be over the cost cap. And then it turns out you're the only team that's over the cost cap.
Right.
And you know, the funny thing about that whole situation was as well, they were the only team that didn't participate in the mock.
Participate in the mock run, right?
Exactly. So they were the only team. So when and I think that's where I thought they were the FIA, they got off lightly. And the FIA should not have been lenient. All that tax credit thing that, you know, they accounted for and said they were, the FIA should have said, nah, I don't give a shit. You know why? Because we had we had written regulations that said if you weren't sure, come to us.
Right.
We gave you the opportunity to do a mock budget, mock draft in 2020?
It was 2020.
2020, because it was 2021.
Right, 2021 it came in, and they said no. Yeah.
And you didn't participate. And now when you're going to say, oh, you didn't know this. You didn't. What's the saying? Ignorance is no defense against the law or something like that. I think that's how it goes. So they were claiming ignorance as a defense. And the FIA should have said, no, we don't care. We don't care because we presented you with the opportunity to fix this. To get on board. And why you think 9 other teams didn't get in trouble? Because they did it.
Because they did it. They knew what to go for.
So they already knew what was going to be looked at, what was allowable and what was not allowable. So they let them off. So, but outside of them, I think they might overspend again. And I think, and if they do overspend again, the penalty has to be, they cannot give them the same penalty they gave them for the first offense. They have to move it over into the second column where it's, okay, now we're definitely going to be deducting your points. Right. We're going to get or something. And you're going to have to levy a heavy ass fine. And whatever fine you levy them, levy against the budget.
Right.
It has to be levied against the budget.
Let's go to the next question. Judd, I'm going to give you another opportunity, man. You didn't get it right last time. We hope. Oh, boo, they were.
Yo, can you hear me now?
What's going on? We got you, man. Welcome to the family, first of all. Go ahead and ask your question.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So Saudi Arabia has had a growing interest, obviously, in Formula One, with them kind of announcing that they're making the Qiddiya circuit and with the extension to the Jeddah circuit. Obviously, with the fact that they've, you know, tried to pursue a buyout for Formula One, as well as kind of what they're doing with the LIV Golf League, signing Cristiano Ronaldo to one of their football teams and buying Newcastle. They've seemed to kind of have a global sport initiative. What do you think the long-term implications of a potential buyout from Saudi Arabia would be for Formula One, as they've made very clear intentions that this is something that they're actively pursuing moving forward?
Good question. Appreciate you, sir.
Good question. And that's actually a tough one to give an answer to, because what you'd have to ask the question, what's their objective in buying Formula One? You know, is it about expansion of the sport into different arenas, or are they just buying it because, you know, I mean, they've got the money, so just buying thing as a toy. It's viewed as like another toy to them. Is that the reason for it? Or is a genuine interest in the sport and you want to see the sport grow? And you want to see, you know, it be more, it becomes, you know, it's still one of the biggest sports in the world. You want that expansion and that growth. Or you, as I say, you're just doing it because, yeah, you have money and you need to, you know, spend that money you have. We'd have to figure out what's the actual objective of this, because it's, does Formula One need investing? No, it doesn't. I don't think it needs any more investing. It has all the, you know, the new budget cap system. It has created a kind of, what you call it, franchise system. So teams are now going to be starting to make profits. They'll eventually start to make profits because their operating costs should be lower than what it previously was. So offset that against their income and revenue and so on, they should be start making profit on a yearly basis. Is that the end game for any potential Saudi owner? You know, I genuinely don't know, because sometimes I feel like they do these things because they have the money and they just want to have them, like, you know, like they buy all of these Ferraris and so on. So they get bored of buying Ferraris and yachts and so on. So what's the coolest thing to do? Oh, let's own a sports team, or let's own a sport. And that's it. you know, and then you use that sport as a way of sports washing certain aspects of your nation that some people aren't too happy about. Personally, I don't really, it's not my place to tell them how they should run their country and the things that they should do. So I leave it at that. But you know what I mean? Some people look at it as, you know, it's an attempt to sports wash away that bad image that they've got, that the Western world looks at them at with.
I could see that. I could see that. That's a good one. I tell you what, Jessica got one, Musa, you got one, Galacticus, you didn't get one yet. I'm gonna come to you, Galacticus. Unmute yourself. I'm gonna lower your hand. Oh shit, Galactus.
Galactus don't want
might be slipping, bro. Oh, he got it just in time. He got it just in time. Go ahead, brother man.
Sorry about that. One thing Thanos wanted to get your take on these new rules being implemented just for Sir Lewis Hamilton, meaning the jewelry and his nose ring, and then the other being able to wear a t-shirt that voices his concern on, you know, any type of, say, injustice or things like that, or different things he find important that need a bigger spotlight. So what's your take on them specifically making these rules and trying to hide your hand, saying they're not creating it just for him?
Well, it's kind of
appreciate it.
I mean, thanks for the question, Galactus. I mean, even Stevie Wonder could tell you that all these things they're doing was simply aimed at one person and one person only, because no one on the grid gives a shit about anything outside of Lewis Hamilton. Imagine you think you'll ever imagine thinking you'll see Max Verstappen protesting That guy, you know, so none of the guys on the grid outside of Lewis has anything outside of the sport that they really care about and are passionate about. They turn up their race and they go home, and that's it for them. So all of these things, everybody knows it's aimed at Lewis Hamilton. It's so blatantly obvious, you know, and they came out and made a statement that they want to align themselves with FIFA. And I'm thinking, of all the organizations in the world you want to align your principles with, is FIFA.
It's FIFA.
Are you serious?
Hell,
are you actually serious? That's who you want to align yourself with, FIFA, where that sport is riddled with corruption from top to bottom.
Since Pablo. Let's go.
Like, are you for real? So, you know, I don't, we all can see through it. We all can see through it. And we all know that's what it's all about. The nose ring thing, the jewelry thing, that rule has been in place since, I think they said it came in 2005, I believe it came, that rule's been in place. 2005. Lewis Hamilton has been wearing earrings, nose rings since, 2009 at McLaren? I think 2008, 2009 McLaren. He started wearing nose ring. Earrings. No one ever said, oh, that's dangerous. And what's dangerous about it? What is the danger? And, you know, no one's provided any solid evidence to say, okay, if there's an accident, this is what happens if you wear a nose ring or something like, yo, that's absolute nonsense. A nose ring isn't going to stop you from breathing. No. It's not going to stop you from, you know what I mean? So I don't get it. I just think, you know, again, this is going back to what we said earlier. He's picking unnecessary fights. This guy's gone around picking looking for things to start that, like, it's not really necessary, is it? The sport is dangerous as it is. You're telling me, you know, these guys signed contracts telling you, you know, agreeing to race in a sport that, you know, they may not one crash, and they may not make it home alive. Are you going to say a nose ring, someone wearing a nose ring or a bracelet or something like that is too dangerous? Jesus, we saw what happened to Guan Yu Zhou at Silverstone,
where crazy.
His car flipped and the roll hoop broke. If he didn't have the halo, he'd be a dead
man. He'd be a dead man.
Dead man.
Grosjean too.
Exactly. So that's, you know, it's just nonsense. And everyone can see through it. Everyone knows that's why who it's aimed at. Seb isn't there anymore. So who else is going to come out and say Black Lives Matter? Who's going to come out and say Gay Rights Matter? Who's going to come out there? You don't expect Max? Charles? No. These are the same guys who, when Lewis took a knee, said, oh, we'll show our support in our own way. We're still waiting to see how they're showing that support.
What way is that?
Right. What way is that? What do you mean? You know what I mean? So it's just nonsense. And it's kind of, and I've said, once Lewis retires, Formula One is going to go back to what it's always been. A sport for middle-class white men, dominated by middle-class white men. And that's it. They don't care. All of this is, for me, it's just like show. It's just for show. It's just a facade to say, yeah, we're doing something. But once the person who is actually there, who was calling for something to be done, goes, and the new generation coming up who really don't give a shit, they're just going to say, well, why are we making an effort, trying to make an effort on these endeavors when these guys don't, they've shown no interest in anything outside of the sport. You know, they don't get involved in anything. They don't. So what's the point?
Right. I tell you what, we're going to go to Judd. I'm going to let you be the back door. We're going to go to Jessica, Musa, and then Judd. Jessica. Oh, oof, I ain't had to say it here. She know what's up. She got it.
I know what's up.
I know you wasn't. What's up? You got it.
Does it seem like to you that MBS wants to be a part of Formula One? Like, he wants to be he wants to have Stefano Domenicali's position. Because it seems like he's always involved in Formula One business when there's multiple things going on.
Well, I mean, he's in a higher position than Stefano. I think if he wants Stefano's position, it's because Stefano is actually getting paid a salary for his job. He's not getting paid a salary because his position as FIA president is a voluntary one. So he's not really getting paid. But, you know, I don't know if you missed what we said. We were talking about it earlier where I said it. He wants to be part of the show when, in fact, he's just the referee. He should just be there and not be seen. He's not. No one watches Formula One to talk about MBS.
No.
Nobody watches it to talk about. He's no one. I mean, like I said, Jean Todt was in the background, and sometimes you didn't even know he was the FIA president because you very rarely heard from him. For the time Todd's been in office, you can probably count on maybe one or two hands the amount of times he's gotten involved in anything. You very rarely heard from him. He was just there in the background doing what he needs to do as the president and getting on with the job. But this guy, since he's been in there, he's been talking nonstop. Nonstop, and some
that's
of the things
Jerry
he's
of Formula
saying,
One, bro.
Yeah,
that's the Jerry of the Jones of Formula One.
man, I think he's worse than Jerry Jones.
You think he's worse than Jerry?
And I tell you, and if I say you're worse than Jerry Jones, you're really bad. Because if you know Jerry Jones, if any of you guys know Jerry Jones, then you know he's bad. So he's always talking, and it's too much. It's too much, and like I said, his constant talking is, I think, is creating a further divide between the rights holder and the governing body of the sport. And you can't, and if that's going to be the case, there's going to be a fall. Because remember, years ago, Formula One was, they were thinking of, I don't remember who said it, Adams, that they were actually thinking of splitting. I don't think they're going to split, but I think if he stays and he carries on doing the things that he's been doing, it's going to cause further problem. And that's not good for the sport.
All right, Musa, brother man, you got it. I'm gonna lower your hand, unmute yourself. Judd, you gonna close us out, bro.
I was just taking time, just processing a lot of what Thanos was saying, and
because he'd be talking that shit.
We look when you put it in its essence, I think that the sport is ready to, or is desperate to actually create a new, you know, hero or a new champion that they can kind of move on with. I think that obviously the champ has decided to venture into different, different difficult topics that I think the big dogs in the business don't want to fiddle with. My question to you, Thanos, just pulling that out, what do you think? How long do you think Lewis is actually realistically? You know, I hear them always saying, oh, you know, he's got 3 more years in here, at least 4 more years. And I understand that realistically, he's not going to do this forever. But
so you want to know how much longer you think Lewis has?
Yeah. How long do you think Lewis realistically, the way he's talking, because when you hear him talk about it on these interviews, dude sounds like he's still going to be here for at least half a decade. But everybody wants to make it seem like, you know, it's only until 2024 and then it's finished. So what do you think? Like, you know, judging from what Lewis is saying and what the critics and, you know, the other critics are saying.
Personally,
appreciate you, brother, man.
Thanks, Musa, because I actually argued that Lewis is going to leave Formula One at the end of 2024.
Oof.
Well, yeah. So don't follow me because I'm wrong. But in truth, I think this is his last contract.
I do think that
this extension that he's gonna sign with Mercedes, I think it's gonna be a 2-year contract, and then after that, he's done. Okay. Because I think I listened to the podcast he did with
Shetty,
mm-hmm. and he's setting foundations, you know, in place for when he, so that he can go and not feel sad.
Void, because, right.
Yeah, you know, in the interview, he talked about Kobe Bryant when Shetty said something about, he asked Kobe Bryant about how he felt upon retirement, and Kobe Bryant said, yo, I'm glad I retired.
Good.
And he was happy. He's good because he had other things. He said it allowed him to pursue other passions that previously he had kind of suppressed because, you know, he was so into the NBA. So he started, he created that outside interest that when he moves on, he's not going to move on. It's not like, you know, like some of these drivers, they retire and they're like,
okay, what the fuck am I going to do?
They have nothing else to do. All they know is Formula One. You know, you mm-hmm. see they come back, Jenson Button coming back doing commentary, Nico Rosberg, and all these things. And you're like, yeah, granted, Nico is doing his thing outside, but a lot of these guys come back into the paddock and they're just hanging on because it's all they know. They didn't set themselves up to say, okay, let me create something so when I retire, I don't have to feel the need that I need to go back to the circuit. So all of these things that he's doing, setting himself up. So I think this is his last contract. I think he's going to go until he's probably, what's he, 38 this year. So I think when he's 41, I think 40. He's going to be done when he's 40, okay. 41. And that's it for him. Because I think he has a lot more things that he wants to do. And, you know, he has all of these projects, these production company, his Mission 44, you know, all his other business interests and so on. I think he's gone after 40. I think that would probably be a good time for him to go. I don't want him to be around, you know, in the Alonso mold.
Right.
You know, just
in the participation in the tennis award every damn
race.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like Alonso is there to just participate, to get a participation trophy because I don't care. I don't know which universe he's living in where he thinks he can win a championship. Give him a Red Bull, he's still not going to win the championship. That's it. His days are done. And I don't want to see Lewis. You know what I mean? It's like when you have boxers, you have some boxers who they were at the top, and rather than just going out, they kept on fighting,
they got their brains
and getting getting exactly just getting beaten every matches after match after match after match. I don't see that for him. I think once this contract is signed, he's done.
It's a done. I do too. I agree with Thanos on this. I think this is gonna be his last contract. I think that's another reason why it's taking a bit long. He wants to get his structure right because this is gonna be it. I think after this contract, Lewis gonna go on and he has set himself up right. He set himself up with many other things to do. We got a Stream E team, he's got the clothes, he got the fashion, he's got the movie and production company, he's got the commission. So he's done well, and that's why I keep telling people he's done well to make himself bigger outside of Formula One in that retrospect. So I'm gonna let you close us out, man, with your final question. Make it a good one, man. Don't close us out on a bum question.
Okay,
you had a good one earlier.
All right, now this one comes from Judical McBoodle herself, the girlfriend. Okay.
Pronounce that for me again. Pronounce that for me again.
It's Judical McBoodle. If you could say that shit out loud, I would love it.
Judical McBoodle.
There we go.
Perfect. Bow. What's up, Judy?
Judy wants to know. She's concerned that the W14 is going to be a rocket. Okay, it's a rocket. And the civil wars are gonna restart again between George and Lewis. Mm. Do you think that Mercedes' guise of impartiality is gonna be their downfall if George and Lewis go head to head, butting heads, and it gets ugly on track? Do you think that Mercedes' guise of being impartial and like will alienate too many of their own fans and will cause too much bad blood within the Mercedes camp?
No.
Oof.
No.
Spicy one. Go ahead. Appreciate that, brother.
No. No, I don't think it'd be a problem because I think they've got the experience for what happened with Lewis and Nico. They know how to deal with that situation. You know? And you also have to factor in the characters of the persons, the people we're talking about involved, George and Lewis. You know, the reason why Lewis and Nico fell out wasn't so much because I said it. The reason why Nico, from once George doesn't do anything stupid, there won't be an issue with Lewis.
Okay.
And I think where Nico and Lewis fell out is because of what the things that Nico did. Remember, I'll go back into the vault, the memory vault. In Bahrain, that first race in Bahrain, where they tussled for the last couple of laps, right? Nico used an engine mode that he was not supposed to use. They were all told you cannot use that engine mode. In Spain, Lewis used that engine mode to defend against Nico. And Nico then came into the press conference and mentioned that, basically he was saying you only won because you used an engine mode that, you know we're not supposed to. And Lewis was like, yeah, but you used it in the previous race in Bahrain. So what are you going on about?
Exactly.
And then you had the whole Monaco incident where, again, he cheated. Nobody can tell me otherwise. He literally cheated. You know what I mean? He did it on purpose. So he created a problem where Lewis felt like, yo, you're not playing fair. I'm trying to play the game fair, but you're willing to cheat. And I don't. And he lost respect for Nico in that regard. And I think that's what created the acrimony between them. And I was adding the fact that they were the only two people who could win the championship. So it created that further acrimony. So in regards to George and Lewis, I don't think it's going to be a situation where it's just going to be them two that can win the championship. It's going to be a battle with Max. Max is going to be there. The Red Bull is going to be there. We'd be stupid to think somehow the Red Bull is just going to fall off.
Right.
It's never going to happen. The Ferraris are going to be there until they job, till they, you know, self-destruct. So they're going to be there. And I think, I don't know why people keep thinking, oh, there's going to be a problem there. Why would you have that negative energy? Why would you think that's something that's going to happen? And furthermore, this is not Lewis's first rodeo. I mean, the guy's been dealing with challenging teammates, with the exception of Kovalainen, his entire Formula One career. Look at the roster of teammates he's had to deal with. So he's not unfamiliar with being in a situation whereby it's a challenge for him week after week after week. I think it's something he thrives on. And, you know, George is going to do what George needs to do to win. But at the same time, I don't think George is going to do anything stupid that jeopardizes the team's chances of winning a championship or winning races. So I don't, I just don't get it. People like, you know, it's, I don't know where it's coming from. And I know most people will go back to Zandvoort with what happened in Zandvoort. And my thing with Zandvoort was, I don't think George did anything wrong in Zandvoort. People might disagree with me. And I said, I don't think George did anything. George asking to get changed tires and whatnot in Zandvoort, he did nothing wrong. What the issue is, the team was the one who messed up that situation. Because they've, if you've got a structure in place where you said, look, we're not going to put you in a position where we're going to give you an advantage over your teammate after the full rounds of pit stop. It was for the team to have just said, look, George, sorry, we can't grant you that request. You're going to have to stay in the same tires as Lewis. Lewis has a chance to win the race, so we're going to put you, you're going to have to, you know, play a road blocker for Lewis for a couple laps.
Facts.
That's what the team should have done. They're the ones that created the problem, not Lewis. And it's not George. George's request was perfectly reasonable. And I had no problems with that whatsoever. So I think, so in that regard, I don't think there's going to be any problems. And if there's any problems, then that's, it is what it is. That's, you want do you want a situation like Red Bull where Max is just basically, it's Max's team, you know, Perez opened his mouth, Max's mom is going to come on social media and tell him off or something like that. I want to see Lewis challenge. I want to see Lewis at his best. And I think you get the best Lewis when he's up, when someone is challenging him, when he's, you know, when he has to dig deep and he doesn't feel and it's not a comfortable right. situation for him. He wants to, you know, and there's still question marks around George. There's still question marks because you saw after Canada last year, if the season had started in Canada, you'd have said George got his ass handed to him. Yeah, he won in Brazil, but let's be honest, how did he get into that position in Brazil? He benefited from his own mistake in Brazil. Because that's what gave him the opportunity to win, to qualify and put to where he qualified and to win the race, his own mistake. So there's still question marks around him. Is he a talent? Absolutely. Can he win races? Absolutely. But can he consistently win races to win you a championship? That's the question now. Because when it comes, because how is he going to perform when he's going to have to be racing against a Lewis, a Max, and a Charles in equally competitive machines on a week-by-week basis? Can you sustain that level of performance throughout a 23 race season? Because it's not going to be easy. And we saw, and as I said, we saw from Canada up to the end of the season, he got up qualified and out-raced by Lewis the whole of that time. He's finished. I think he finished in front of Lewis was Monza. He finished ahead of Lewis in Monza. Where else could we go? Monza.
Well, shit. The race win, of course, but
Brazil. And there was somewhere else he finished ahead of Lewis. I can't remember. But outside of that, you know, Lewis basically showed him, okay, this is what you're up against. What happens now when they have a competitive machine? Can you beat that guy? Because Lewis is a machine. Facts. Lewis is a machine. Once he gets up and running, he's an absolute machine. And it's going to take something to beat him. And I don't think he's going to let himself get caught out in a situation whereby he's going to be starting slowly. I think he's probably going to want to start, you know, set the tempo from race one. He wants to start stamping his authority on George from race one. So it's you know, previous years, it would take him a while to build up. And then once it gets to the second half of the season, he just,
boom,
he's gone. I think this year, he's just, because I think he has, I think he's telling himself for this season that it's redemption for him. He wants to take back what was rightfully his.
Rightfully his.
He came into 2022 with that mindset, but then couldn't do it because, again, they gave him a
shit box.
Thank you. Yeah, they gave him a thank you Pfizer car, you know, for... they gave him a thank you Pfizer car for 2022. So this year, if they give him the right car, I pray. Look, man, I sit here because I'm gonna be eating humble pie if it doesn't come through.
I hope
that W14 is a reincarnation of the W11, boy. Because if it is, everybody's in trouble next year, man. But I'm looking forward to the season. It's gonna be an interesting one. I hope. You know, again, I'm being optimistic. Yeah, I hope that I'm kind of like 70-30. It's gonna be a
right.
That's fair. I'm confident it's gonna be a better card than the W13 by miles. That's fair. By miles.
So, I think that's fair, and I think we're all waiting for that season. So I will say this: we will be here for car unveilings. We will be here for testing. Thanos will always be here. He's family. He's always welcome here. And yes. I'm going to say this: if you've been protesting in the comments that you don't like it, then fuck it. Don't come. You don't have to come to the channel. You can go to another channel. You don't have to come. We're going to have real conversation with real people around here at Wolfpack. And all
I'm
my wolves.
I'm in a quiet taste, man.
Right.
I'm in
a quiet taste. When we pull out that bottle from the cellar, you ain't got to show up with your cup. Just pull your cup upside down and walk away from the table.
If you're on Twitter, you can follow me at Thanos876 on Twitter. Thanos with a 7. Right. 876. Just be mindful, though. I'm very foul mouthed.
Yes, he is. And I'm going to make sure to put his link in the description. But all my wolves in the Wolves Den, big shout out to y'all. All my new family members, big shout out to y'all. This is Wolves Den. If you're not in, it's because you're not VIP and you're not in the family. Consider joining the family. Don't forget to hook up the Discord. We'll be back again soon. That's another Wolves Den. We out.